You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
That joke anymore about the only good thing that ever came out of Detroit was an empty Greyhound bus, because now we can say this movie Detroit is one of the best things ever to come out of Detroit.
Yeah, it is kind of one of those things though, where it's like, it was a really great movie, but man, like, it was born out of some really terrible circumstances.
Oh, yeah, that's partially why it's such a good movie. Yeah. It's one of the, if not the most tense film we've seen this year.
Yeah.
This movie, directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who, of course, got tons of kudos for her and awards, including Best Director, the first woman ever and only to win Best Director of the Academy Awards for her movie, The Hurt Locker. She's taking on this one, written by Mark Boll, based on the Algiers motel incident during the 1967 12th Street riot. And this is the 50th anniversary of the event it's putting out to commemorate it. Now, a lot of people, well, some people have heard of the riots in Detroit.
Right.
But the Algiers event has always been one of those ones that was kind of pushed away into the dustbin of history a bit. And it's not terribly surprising with the, you know, what happened during it.
And especially when you consider, like, as history keeps going on and on, like, police shootings are just piling up, and it's, yeah, at some point some are going to get lost in the shuffle, and that's really, really fucking sad.
And it's never been more relevant to have a movie like this than right now, just to really point out how long this shit has been going on, and yeah, get yourself so inside this situation. This is what this film does so well, is put you right there,
yeah,
in the middle of it. The basic idea is, in 1967, there was a police raid in Detroit on an after-hours club, and it led to a riot that took over the city and lasted for days. While all this is going on, there was the Algiers Motel, which had a adjunct sort of boarding house type thing next to it as well. So yeah, an expansion of it. Somebody who was in there set off a starter pistol as a joke. The police saw the flash and said, there's a sniper in that hotel.
And at the time, snipers were pretty, like, yeah.
Yeah. And so they showed up, and the National Guard shows up, and go in there and decide that basically they're not leaving until someone admits who the sniper was. And there was no sniper, like I said. And honestly, most people are not even aware that what happened with the starter pistol. And those that are afraid to even point that much out, because they're afraid what's going to happen to the guy in question.
Yeah.
So you've got a whole group of people. We follow most prominently a group of touring musicians here who actually went on to, like, sans their lead, who wanted nothing more to do with entertainment after these events, yeah, went on to be somewhat successful afterwards. But yeah, we followed them, two white women who were in there, and then we also see from the viewpoint of a security guard played by John Boyega, who's trying the best he can to keep the peace. As a black man in an official capacity, you know, the cops are giving a certain grudging amount of respect and room to be there and do, yeah, whatever.
And he understands that other black people are not giving him that same respect.
No, but it also is the point where he's basically trying to not piss off these other cops and protect these people, yeah, at the same time as best he can. And you have Will Poulter, who from pretty much is not going to play anything but villains for the rest of his career, because he's just got one of those faces, playing the main character of this group of racist scumbag cops.
What's interesting about him is the first thing I've ever seen him in was We Are the Millers.
Yeah.
In which he plays that really nerdy kid.
Yeah.
And then, like, from that, he's Pennywise.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So he's got one of those eyebrows. It's like, nah, man, you're crazy.
Anybody who casts him as a protagonist at this point is, it's like casting Dane DeHaan as the protagonist of a film. Yeah. Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah. He's never going to be a lead in a romantic comedy.
No, probably not. Probably not. And there's a lot of other people along the way. Anthony Mackie's in this, but surprisingly not as much as you'd think.
Yeah, I was a little bummed about that.
Yeah, I mean, John Boyega as well is not in this as much as you'd think, you know, considering really, like Jacob Lattimore is one of the main characters here, is one of the musicians, and then Will Poulter.
It focused more on him than I would have liked. Mm-hmm. Like I know the circumstances of the crime and everything, and considering how it all turned out, I maybe wouldn't have had the focus mostly on that cop.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. They really want to, because this is three acts. The first act is the musicians, what's going on with them, them having a big important gig canceled at literally the last second before they go on stage because the riots are going on, like showing, tensions building in the town, showing a little stuff with the cops who are already possibly in trouble for a previous thing where where Will Poulter shot a guy after being told, we don't shoot people who are not shooting at us.
Yeah.
The second act is the bulk of the movie, which is the most, like, tense thing I've seen in theaters in a long time, with all the cops just holding these guys and essentially both psychologically and physically torturing them.
Yeah.
And the third act is the fallout, what happened after that.
You're going to be really disappointed in Jim Halpert.
Yeah. I think the whole movie is really good, and I understand why a film that, like, is representing a real story of what mm-hmm. happened and its impact needed the whole third act there. And it is like, it definitely leaves has a resonance in and of itself, but it almost felt like a letdown after the sheer intensity of the whole second act, which right. was just stomach turning and exciting. It was basically a horror movie.
Yeah. In a lot of the ways that those, not like slashers feel, but just kind of like really like home invasion movies. It's kind of basically kind of what it was.
Yeah.
Think of the base in any great home invasion movie that's like, kind of like funny, like not, absurdly full of gore, like Funny Games or anything like that, but just kind of that level of tensity.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does such a great job of really putting, people who may not have had the experience of really being in a position of being completely subservient to an authority who they are in fear of their life from. Yeah. I've never seen anything that makes this so real and so effective, because you completely understand what these people are going through in these scenes. You are with them 1,000% and you're terrified for them.
Yeah. I think anybody who, when they see these police shootings and things like that still happen today, when they're saying something ignorant, like, well, they should just comply. It's like, no, it goes way beyond that. Like, it's, they do comply, and it's just, they're terrified. And once you're terrified, you're not in your right state of mind. And really neither party is, because you could argue that both are terrified of the other. And it's like, no, there should be a gray area. There should be a compromise.
And when we've seen psychological experiments, like I'm blanking on the name of, but the one with like the college students where they make them jailers and then prisoners. And almost immediately the jailers start abusing their power and start being incredibly abusive.
Oh yeah.
It's like, okay, so this is something that almost certainly is happening in a power dynamic between police officers and their victims. I'm going to use the word here.
Yeah.
Especially if these cops, which they very much were in this case, and in a lot of cases were very racist and already were just sure that these people were all criminals regardless.
Right.
To call it on the nose isn't fair. I mean, it can be both subtle at points and really on the nose, I suppose, but we've never more needed something to be on the nose than we do this discussion topic. And it's well explored. Also, I really enjoyed the whole cast here. Points over Hannah Murray, who people know as Gilly from Game of Thrones best, but she plays one of the two girls who is involved with one of the African-American gentlemen here. And she is treated, she's kind of used as that position to say, like, it really doesn't matter, you're not white anymore in these cops' eyes, because they know you were being sexual with these black guys, and to them right there, you're just, they look at her as much an animal as they look at the black people, and just to show how simple that is, how what a divide in that kind of racism, how it's so simple for them to just lump you back in. I don't care what color your skin is. You're obviously just a creature, and you're not worthy of being treated like a human being.
Yeah. And, like their confusion was just kind of like jarring. It was when they're just like, why them? What's wrong with us? And it's like, people are people, man.
Yeah. There's no real answers here. I mean, it just, the fact this has been going on for, I mean, longer, a lot longer than 50 years. This was just a prominent incident 50 years ago, but it's still going on all the time now.
Yeah.
And following this into the court case with John Krasinski playing an attorney here, there's a sense of relief when the incident is ended, despite lives that were lost during it. And you're, at that point, we're kind of expecting Hollywood justice, right?
Right.
Something like, you know, but that's not what this movie's here to give us at all.
Yeah. It's yeah, not a feel good movie by any means. But it is kind of one of those, you know, those movies where, yeah, it's extremely powerful. And I feel like people could see this and you could base it loosely on the Algiers and just kind of not really completely hide the fact that it's from the 60s or the 70s. And I think any kid who watches it can be like, oh yeah, that stuff still happens today.
Yeah, if you took away all the period piece stuff and just made it like claim, okay, this is something, a fictional story that happened right now, people would watch it and go, are you sure that's fictional?
Yeah.
That feels like something that just happened. Yeah, it is extremely timely despite the period. And I did enjoy the period aspects of it. There's a lot of like, oh man, look at those clothes. They're awesome. And look at
that was all done really well. I think one of the...
That awesome show that they're at, I'm just like, I would have killed to have been at that show, like just this amazing Motown artists present type thing. I'm like, wow, that looks like that was a good time.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Kathryn Bigelow does really well, and it's kind of why I've never really gone back to The Hurt Locker, because The Hurt Locker wasn't really based on anything true. Like I love Zero Dark Thirty, and I think
I'm not with you on that one, but I love The Hurt Locker.
Okay, well, I think the way that in terms of real events, I think the way she fills in the blanks, and this is she didn't do that for Zero Dark Thirty, but this one. They did have a disclaimer at the end saying some parts were dramatized based on, you know, accounts and documents and things like that, because this is all still really fuzzy. Like this is, you can almost kind of see how, spoiler alert, you can almost kind of see how the cops got off in the case because, yeah, evidence was fuzzy. There was so much destruction at the time. Like it was easy for you know, somebody to get away with something like this.
And there were clearly people there who were afraid of retribution.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're like, I don't know.
Yeah. And so, you know, whatever resources she used to fill in the blanks, I think she did really well.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is a very fast moving, very entertaining. And I don't mean that like, hey, juggling and what have you. Extremely tight. Like I said, the real horror thriller. You know, I mean, this is the film after you've had fun watching Get Out, then you go, okay, it's time to stop having fun and watch something that's even scarier that really happened.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is. It's a social thriller as much as that is. Well, why don't you go into your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, based on the trailers, I was excited for this movie because I wanted to see a good movie. And I did, in the end, see a really good movie. I didn't quite think about the repercussions of that and how it's based on a true story. Like one of the things I love most is how I can kind of go back and revisit a movie. And like, for me, I can go back and revisit Zero Dark Thirty, despite, you know, all the darkness around that story. But this one, because it's not really a feel good movie, it's just a really damn well made movie. It's phenomenal. I take points away from it for not being able to like revisit it. It's not something you can like, you know, sit back and eat popcorn with just to kill 2.5 hours like I can most David Fincher movies. Still really well made, not a weak performance in the bunch. Really tense throughout. 143 minutes just flies.
Oh my God,
by.
You have no idea it's 2.5 hours. You're just like, when it's over, you're like, oh, that was it?
Yeah. Even when the court trial begins, I was almost going to start looking at my watch, but then I was like, no, I'm in for this. Like,
yeah.
I want to see where this is going because I don't know. But yeah, I mean, despite, you know, the negative points I'm giving it, I'm still giving it like an 8 out of 10 starter pistols.
Yeah. I was glued to this thing from start to finish. At first, just because, like I said, they were just doing such a great job, despite maybe an overuse of stock footage. But what are you going to do? You know, I mean, we're probably limited by budgeting. You know,
the movie BS guys on our site, they call it boats. Based on a true story. So any boats movie is going
to
do that.
Yeah, to some extent. And there's definitely a lot of that going on in the first act here. But it still really put you in this period of time and why these tensions had ratcheted up so high. And then makes you understand firsthand why it is, you know, what's happening and the fear that's going through everyone's heads at this point. I think this is kind of a masterwork and arguably, for my money, maybe Catherine Bigelow's best film. I definitely think this is going to end up on the Best Picture nominees this year. I'd be shocked if it didn't. In fact, there's probably going to be an outcry if it isn't. Because this is a very important film.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that. I think its impact it's the way it, because it chooses to be as terrifying as it is and not dry at all, that it's so immediate is why it's as important as it is.
Yeah.
And I give it 9 out of 10 other oneofus.net critics I can't believe sign up to go see this.
They're all going to be bummed that they missed this.
Like. Yeah. I was like, I kept saying online, I was like, guys, you have no idea. I think I said at one point, yeah, I know all these other movies this month have been great, but you haven't seen Detroit yet. Because holy shit. Holy shit.
I think it's really the perfect kind of segue into fall. Like, it's way early for award season talk, but I mean, this is worthy of that. And yeah, I think this is a nice kind of segue into that period where now we're going to begin, maybe 6 weeks nothing really.
We get the non-popcorn movies and slowly edging into the genuinely, you know, the Oscar award movie. We've already seen a few, you know, the award season begins early, which makes me think with them starting to put out films they want to get noticed this early, there must be quite a crowd heading up November and December this year of things that people are nervous about, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, slightly off topic, but I saw a trailer for the Churchill biopic that that Gary Oldman is in. I'm like, whoa, he is gunning for his Oscar.
Yeah, you know, the moment they're like Gary Oldman, and you're like, oh, what? Yeah. Meanwhile, I forget. There's another Churchill biopic coming out with a lesser actor. I'm blanking on his name right now. It's like, fuck. Yeah.
OneofUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneofUs.net and don't forget your towel.